Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale tinakala po kondwela, lelo heka, tutikumbukila kweta chokela. Amai kubutika mutima, koma zoti tazisoa. Nimaona misozi masomu wake, nimavuto abale nimavuto. Kumwanako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumufolo. Hama mainei nizi wanda zota nizi. Taeza talema na yuma pempelo. Atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila.
Good morning from Dallas, Texas, and welcome to Zanda Block Talk Radio. Saturday, September 26th, it's amazing how time and the months are flying. We are almost getting to 2016. Hence the reason for our topic of discussion today. I am going to be your host and moderator for this segment of our time, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time in the U.S. It's 11 on the East Coast and 8 in the morning, I believe, on the West California and all the other parts of the world. Thank you for joining us. My name is Nathan Nkama. We are talking about voter registration in Zambia. And this is a crucial thing. Like I'm saying, 2015 is flying so quickly. We'll soon be going into elections in Zambia. I'm sure the campaign will kick off. The president is in the U.S. attending the U.N. General Assembly. Last night, they were dancing and everything and going away. Roger, Matilda, welcome back here. We don't want to get into that. Some people may think we are whatever. Ms. Lucas, good morning again from Sunshine, Florida.
Good morning. In Florida, it either rains or it's hot. So, okay. So that's the season.
Roger, what's happening in Otoko? Huh?
Okotoks has, I don't know if I should say weather problems or what. For the whole of this week, Nathan, we are going to be having one day to be very hot, the other day to be quite cold. Every other day will be. So yesterday we were in the American terms, I would say 75, 78. Today we are in the 40s. Tomorrow we are going to be back to 75. The other day we are going to be in the 40s. So that's the way we roll here.
Those are extremely drastic weather changes,
And makes a lot of people sick that way.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Dr. Patrick, good morning again and welcome back.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back. The temperature in Dallas, Roger, is 70 degrees. 70 degrees.
That this is a fall, right? 70 is okay. For Dallas conditions, that is a welcome weather, I think.
Yes, it's very much welcome. Well, today, I want us to have... I really didn't want to sort of like bring in a guest from the Electoral Commission of Zambia or some official from some organization or whatever. I just thought that we should look at this and try to see what role, of course there is a role that we can play, even if we are across from the other side of the world. Dr. Patrick keeps telling us this. The interesting thing here, Dr. Patrick, is that there's always a certain cycle when both the United States and America have the same year of election, and this is, happens to be one of those. The United States would be going to the polls in 2016, so would Zambia be going to the polls. So let me give you some statistics, Matilda, Roger, and Dr. Patrick, and then we can get into this discussion. Matilda, I don't know if you're in a position to do this or Roger, but whilst I'm doing this, I need help for you to look for me what the current voter registration indicates, because here's an important statistic, Dr. Patrick. The Electoral Commission of Zambia is looking to capture 1.7 million voters. 1.7 million voters to be added to this, to the current registration of voters. Here's another interesting statistic, Roger. From 14 September, this voter registration exercise has started 14 September, and Lusaka alone, from 14 September to date, has added 29,363 voters. Okay? So, and Lusaka is one of the key voting blocks in the nation, and we all know what that means. So, Dr. Patrick, let me start with you. Of course, we saw in 2008 what happened when Obama was first elected, and it is said that the major players in putting President Obama into office were two things. One, of course, the millennial generation came out in large numbers. We saw how the campaign went. The Obama campaign strategically and deliberately targeted the college students or young people for that matter, and of course the women, new registered voters. How does an addition of new voters to a voter roll in a nation influence an upcoming election, Dr. Patrick?
It would, as Donald Trump always say, it's huge. It is extremely huge. But see, that's just the first step. You register is the first step. But the most important step is to get them to come out and vote. Keep those that are registered to vote excited and animated to vote and get them out to vote. So the numbers in the 20,000 and above is fantastic, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. we got to get them out to vote. We have to now organize and strategize ways to get them out to vote. If you can organize transportation, you get transportation. If you can organize, have more polling booths, you make sure you get more polling booths. If you can organize early morning breakfast or prayer breakfast, and if you can vote on Sundays, then you do that. You got to get them out to vote.
Excellent. Okay, Mrs. Lucas, you are here. You heard what Dr. Patrick has said, and I've given the statistics to say the Electoral Commission of Zambia says they are looking to add in 1.7 million. That's their target. They may hit it, they may fall short. I'm looking at the Electoral Commission of Zambia website right now, Dr. Patrick and the Roger. I think the current voter registration is showing 5,166,000. 5 million. So in other words, when the 1.7 is added, let's assume they're going to hit their target. 1.7 million is added to this. It will take it to 7 something million. Matilda, what is your take and how do you look at this thing?
All right. Thank you so much, Nathan, for having me on the program again. I looked at those statistics yesterday, and even in response to your questions, while I am excited that there are more people coming out to register, you can tell people want to get more involved in the decision-making of the next leadership. I'm a little disappointed to see that the ratios between male and female are 2-1. it's double the number. There are more, twice as many men voting, registering to vote as there are women. So then my issue or my concern is, are women still leaving this up to men to say it's a men's world, it's a men's decision, men are the ones to make decisions? I would like to see more women come out, as many as there are women lobby groups and so on. I think those are avenues that we should encourage each other as women to say we need also to take part in this decision making. We cannot be pointing fingers to say, oh, look at this person, we didn't vote for this person. We also need to be more active. So while the numbers are increasing, I'd like to see an increase in more females making coming to the polls.
And how do you do that? One way is put women on the ballot. Remember last year, how many women were on the ballot? One. Edith Nwaki. Wawi, I believe. Only
Nwaki.
One woman.
Well, you know, I do understand, I think this, I do understand this women dilemma problem.
Yes.
Come every Saturday, how many women are on radio sharing what we share on this platform here? Nathan, you and I always talking. How much stuff have we learned just being here? A lot of it we attribute to Dr. Patrick, how he has put us in line, and how many people would have benefited, women women and men, if they were consistent. Yeah, like Ms. Lucas is, at least Ms. Lucas, we have you and we are thankful. So now, how do we need to motivate the women to be part of the process, just even to talk? How are we going to do it? Thank you, Dr. Patrick. You've said,
I think one way we can do it is talk about issues that is of major interest to women. And only women can tell us that. And you will see, such as when we talked about abortion, getting the woman jump into the discussion. So when we have issues that directly impact them, remember when
That's
we talked
point.
About the policeman that beat up the child at that pool party?
We
had women come out on the phone. So I'm saying that the way we can get, because rest be assured, there are many, many women listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio every Saturday. There are a lot of women listening to the program. So let's have some key programs, or let the women tell us what they want to hear or what needs to be discussed.
Let me just jump in on that regard. Yes, we do need to have women on the ballot. That's very important. However, just because you have a woman on the ballot does not mean that's the right person. And this is a general statement. Now, how do we encourage more women? Of course, as the old adage says, charity begins at home. What's the relationship between the man and the woman in the home? Is the woman being given an opportunity to equally express herself without using her, without being nagging or, how do you say, wukaka? Can someone interpret that for me in English?
Too loud.
Without being talkative, you know, manipulative in your speech, because women begin to feel frustrated and start using manipulative speech in order to get their way because they're not getting it in the first place. But Roger, you asked a question, you know, how do we get more women involved, even on ZBTR and just in general? Sometimes you can have a topic where a woman wants to present her view, but if the majority are presenting a chauvinistic point of view, we get discouraged, you know? And or maybe you say something, then you feel like the response you're getting is like, there we go again, here we go. So then you're not encouraged, like, okay, maybe what I'm saying is not good enough. You're not seeing it at the same value. So we begin to lose interest. But the thing is, even when we are looking at the statistics of the people who are who have registered to vote, and I think Vanathan referred to Lusaka. When I think of Lusaka right now, in my mind, I'm not thinking of the suburban areas. I'm thinking of people in the compounds, in Mandevu, Mtendere, Kalingalinga, Kwa George, and all these places. The man may have the liberty to go and register, but the woman has to stay home, clean, look after the kids, do some kind of business to supplement the income her husband is trying to make. So who is the man willing to stay home while he goes and registers? Is the man willing to take his wife and children to the polling station or register place and say, this is how we register to vote? Wife, this is what we do. Children, as you are going to be future adults, this is how you register to vote. You go through this, and that. You know, even on polling, voting day, do we have those, bring up, have those teachable moments? Maybe you have a spouse who's not as educated as you. Do you say, hey, wife, come with me and walk with me through how we vote so that the next time around you two can do the same thing? And also issues. Are issues being discussed? It's not a matter of popularity between parties, but what are the real issues? Is this person we're voting for or against discussing the things that matter in my constituency, in my community? Is the things that they're talking about, is it going to affect me and my children? Those are the things that interest women, because women, we feel like we are the ones who are more or less the protector of the home. We make sure that the language is carried on. The child will learn the language the mother speaks, you know? The child will learn things based on what is happening in the home. Okay, I've talked too much.
Let me cut you short, Matilda, right there. I want to zero into something that you have brought up. In other words, in your assessment analysis of this process, why there's a deficit is there aren't, these conversations are not taking place in the family table. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, let me also add on to what Ms. Lucas has said here. Again, I think I'm coming out with a question, in some form of a question, which says, then how can we men start thinking like women, so to say? How can we start to be accommodating? I know my own situation in my house. My wife will have a story to tell me, and women have a way of telling stories in a very winded way, every detail they want to tell you. And as a man, I don't want to hear every detail. Just tell me the conclusion of this story. just tell me. And according to Ms. Lucas, the way she's explaining here, that can be very frustrating to women. That can be very, very frustrating to women. And therefore, how can we be as accommodating as possible? What adjustments, Nathan, everyone who is here, including myself, do we need to make? I'm hearing patience within myself here in my head, Dr. Patrick. I'm hearing patience.
Matilda, I ask you and all of our sisters listening to Zambia Blog Talk Radio to agitate us, to make us, to just continuously impress upon us your ideas, your opinions, and do not regard us being frustrated. Frustrate us. It is important that we hear from you. And as much as you get frustrated, frustrate us, because we will do that. We will say, well, okay, let's talk about something else. No, bring us back. Bring us back to the point and be persistent on that.
Dr. Patrick, you know why I laugh? I smile and I laugh at the same time, because, yes, we can be frustrating. We can bring up topics that are frustrating, but if we look at a home, and that's where the frustration starts.
Mm-hmm.
If a wife and a husband cannot see the same thing, the same picture, you know, it begins to be frustrating, and before you have it, you're no longer having a conversation that is warm and welcoming and inviting. All the time, the man sees his wife, he sees a scar on her face, and he says, okay, here we go again. You know, you keep talking about the same thing over and over. But the thing is, you've come to a point where it's frustrating that yet the person no longer is listening. They're not hearing what you're saying. They're just hearing the words that are just blah, 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 and it becomes annoying. And quickly, men move on, you know. Even just simple planning, I'm starting from the home before I even get into ZBTR, the registration of voters in Zambia or in the U.S. or wherever. If there are certain things, just planning, where a woman will look ahead and say, hey, husband or man, whoever, this is what I think we should do. The man will look at it and say, that's not a good idea. How can you even think about something like that? Belittle you. But later along the road, they will come back to the same plan that you presented and presented to you, like they're the first, they're the ones who thought of it for the first time. And women look at you and say, oh, really? Those are my words. Your eyes, and they say, okay. Depending on the kind of woman that you are, you might just say, okay, we move on. Very good plan, husband. Let's go on. Or you bring it up and say, didn't I tell you this, 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 and that? And, you know, the cycle starts. But yes, there is a way of bringing certain topics to say, men, let's not overlook this. You know, it becomes difficult if you are the lone voice. Just like I just loosely looking at the registration numbers, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. So if you have more men than there are women, and men, if you're going to speak out using your bigger, deeper voices, you are going to drown us. You know, like, okay, what you're saying is not important, we move on. Or, you know what, that's a good point, but let's put it on the back burner. And we wait in anticipation for that topic to be brought back from the back burner to the front, but it never does. And actually, the back burner switched off, and it becomes cold. Okay.
Well, see, it's your responsibility to bring it up again. It won't be brought up by the men. You have to keep that back burner burning and bring it up again and again. You have to be persistent. As a good analogy of that is the diaspora. How many times have the diaspora encouraged or suggested things to not only the Zambian government but any African government? The diaspora would encourage and say, well, what about this? What about... And many times the diaspora has been put on the back burner until the idea, the very same idea, is brought up by the Zambian government. It always happens. Mm. But do we give up as the diaspora? No. We have to keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
That's
and
true.
Eventually something will happen. So my encouragement to my sisters is to keep on us. I mean, if you don't get satisfaction in the household, get satisfaction on Zambia Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Okay, let's move on to, thank you, Ramatilda, for bringing that disparity in the number of voters registered between the men and the women. Roger, this question is to you. The Electoral Commission opened the voter registration process on September 14th. It will close on November 11th. Now, question to you, they want to capture 1.7 million. Do you think it is in order, or should there be a closing date, or they should just leave it open? And what should they do to be able to capture this target of 1.7?
Well, now, that is that question, Nathan, is what I may call a diaspora question right there. You know, a person who has lived in the diaspora with a mind of a diaspora. We have states in the United States. Same day registration, you can even vote in America. Some states, you have to fight to vote, as they are saying, you know, or this and this. So America has got its own problem. So.
Problem.
I guess the question we should be asking, 50 years into the process. Why do we have to be having a process where people can register and we cut it off for almost 6 months, the entire year it's cut off? Why can't a person like here where I am in Canada, I can just go to the registry and register? It's a continuous process. That's the way I get my driver's license. I can go and register. Why can't I do that in Zambia?
In Zambia.
I appreciate that question. So let us not be having this process just targeted for a specific time, so to say, or a specific result we want as government. Let us leave it open. Let us leave it open so that people can register as we go. Are we going to capture 1.7 million in a very short period of time? That may not happen. So the best way is continuous registration. Let's make sure this is continuous registration. And this is very interesting discussion, Nathan. Before the budget can come in, I'm looking at the numbers. We are about 5 million people who have registered. And when you look province by province, the numbers are terrible. You know, the numbers are so small. What is causing all this? How are we keeping a lot of people away from participating? I stop there.
Nathan, you said that there are 5 million people that are registered. Let me rephrase it just slightly. There are 5 million people who are eligible to vote.
That's right.
Now, just last year, fewer than 2 million Zambians voted. Fewer than 2 million. Okay? We also know that, you know, the candidates and the parties and the governments may have changed over the last 10, 20, 30 years, but the outcome has never changed. I mean, the lives of Zambians in the provinces and districts, they've remained the same. So when you see this happening again and again and again, very few people will vote. Talking about under 2 million that have determined the lives of about 15 million Zambians. That's terrible. So what has to be done is you have to demonstrate change. You have to make it a reason to vote, that something is going to happen. You have to see some buildings going up, some bridges going up, some developmental districts going up. Can you imagine just looking at the numbers? When we talked about numbers, Edith from the FDD party, she gained 15,321 votes. Edith, she came in third place. And just look at this. The amount of rejected votes was 17,313.
Wow.
So something is happening. So we can say we're going to get X amount of people registered. What we need to do is get those individuals excited to vote. Give them a reason to vote. And you talked about the women not voting. Give the women reason to vote. If you want them to vote for a man, or if you want them to vote for a woman, As Matilda said, I mean, it's not just a woman candidate. The woman has to have something that is worthy of being voted for.
That's right. Yeah, Dr. Patrick, you're raising very crucial points, and I want us to build on that. Uncle Daniel, you keep dropping and coming back. Welcome. Right, you said.
Thank you, Nathan. How are you? Good morning.
Doing good. I don't know how much of the discussion you're following. We're talking about voter registration in Zambia. It started on the 14th September, and it will go up to November 11th. The Electoral Commission of Zambia wishes to capture 1.7 more our voters are. I'll let you listen a little bit more. I would like to get your input on this as well. Matilda, what reason should we give to the women to vote? That's a point Dr. Patrick has raised. What reason should we give the women to vote? Then, Roger, I want you to respond to the point of it appears our infrastructure, the condition of our infrastructure is also affecting this whole process, even if we didn't think of it that way. Okay, mm-hmm. Matilda, what reason should we give to the women to vote?
Okay, one of the reasons is the issues being discussed. The platform for the campaign, you know?
Yeah.
Are there relevant points? If I see that, you know, this person is not just here for popularity, to give out chitenges and milimil, but they're actually, I'm seeing that, you know, when I vote this person in, I see a stable future for me and my children and the generations after. I see that this uh-huh. this thing is going to, it's there's a reason for, I won't waste my vote. It's not who's going to get the bigger car or this and that popularity contest, but actually real issues. What are they talking about education? What are they saying about sanitation, water sanitation and so on? What are they saying about creating businesses or opportunities so that there can be income or there can be money to sustain our lives? If those things are brought to the table and the person can show their roadmap, then it will be exciting to say that I'm going to vote.
So, well, then we can say, before Roger, keep that question I'm throwing to you in mind. Let me try to build and develop this. It's not just a matter of giving a woman a reason to vote. Basically, I need to give a reason. The youth needs to be given a reason to vote. The man needs to be given a reason to vote. The farmer needs to be given a reason to vote. I mean, everybody needs to be given a reason to vote. It takes us back to the point, Dr. Patrick, you are saying, it's one thing to capture 1.7 million. It's another thing to get that 1.7 million to show up at the polls. Is that right?
Exactly. And Matilda, I'm going to put on my platform everything that you want me to put on the platform. But how can I convince you that I'm going to do everything that I put on my platform?
All right. So another thing that can be encouraging too is when, you know, during campaigns and so on, they have all these rallies, those are mass rallies, they're exciting. But what I've noticed, what really helps is when you have, you want to meet the grassroots, but you also want to say, I'm coming specifically to talk to you about this. I want to listen to you. It's not about me talking, but let's have a town hall meeting or let's have a workshop where you can, I will come to you in your neighborhood, in your constituency, no matter how terrible it looks. I'm going to sit there and listen to your complaints and actually listen. That is going to be encouraging. Women like to say, okay, there's someone who's actually going to hear me.
Wow. Wow.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
That's
yep.
interesting. Yeah,
and
that's true.
And Nathan, that's also true for the youth and for the farmer.
Yes.
As what Matilda said, that's very true, very
it's
true.
It's very true. Listen, are you listening to my concerns, the things that affect my life? Are you listening
yes.
to the things that are important to me? Roger, the reason I threw the infrastructure question to you, please bear in mind,
go
ahead,
Roger.
Before
I go to infrastructure, just as Ms. Lucas is speaking here, it's making me... to think, so to say, you know, what keeps women away from participation. Like football, unfortunately, like football, politics is a violent, sometimes, is a violent sport. It's a
yeah.
contact sport. It's a fighting. Our women all over the world, this kind of taking through the mud, you've seen the way they'll take you in the mud, the way what Hillary Clinton is going through. Those are not things which motivate women to stand up, to be, I think, to be in politics. And now, therefore, how are we going to make it? Because we've seen, again, I'm a student of world politics, so to say. Look at how a woman who is a leader in Germany, Angela Merkel, has responded to the
immigration crisis. Yes.
And compared to how men are responding. In my thinking, I'm saying that is the nature of a woman right there. We are seeing a nature of a woman come through. This idea of just fighting, it's not part of women, but they're just compassionate people, because they can feel it when they see a young one suffering in that way. So therefore, as Ms. Lucas was speaking, this is a very important topic, Nathan. As Ms. Lucas was speaking here, maybe even our radio, how much, if we look at the campaigns, the Donald Trump of this world, ourselves, our own president, how much time is being spent talking about children? If you read all the articles, all the what they have to say, you are going to find very, very little being said about children. And those are things which matter to women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As the saying goes, Dr. Patrick, back home, when you are attacked by a family is attacked by a lion, the man is the first one to climb the tree to save himself, while the woman is going to be looking for the child. She's not going nowhere. You're not touching me. I don't care if you're a lion or what. You're not touching my baby. Meanwhile,
the man
is on top of the tree. He's on top of the tree. So this discussion, very, very important discussion, we need a very thorough examination. What are some of the items which we can really talk about and will attract women? Talking about children...
Let me say that for women, when it comes to politics, put the man in the woman. Run the politics as a man. And once you get in office, return back to being a woman. Be compassionate and have passion. But when you run for office, run like a man. For example, if you invite a politician, a male politician, to your community to address your issues, let that politician know right up front that in your hand and in a lot of people that attended that meeting are votes. You have to convince us for your vote, because if you don't convince us for the vote, we will vote for someone else. That's the man approach to it. Do not say, I want you to look after my children. I want you to look after my community. No, you say, I have a vote, and I also have money in which I run this community. So therefore, you want my vote. You're going to treat me like a quote-unquote man. And then when you get in office, that's when you use your compassion. Get in office first.
I like that.
Let me give you a very quick example. I'll keep it short. Let's say gender-based violence. That's something we've been talking about in Zambia for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If the person who's standing for election says, I've noticed in this area or in this neighborhood or whatever, there's a lot of spousal abuse. But when the women go to the police, we have had reports that... Now, there's no solution, nothing's being done, there's no support. So if I say I'm going to, part of my campaign is to increase centers or shelters for women to go to a place of refuge, or we're going to have more police force, we're going to employ more female police, encourage more women to join the police force, or just have a training for the men on how to deal with sensitive issues in terms of rape and battery. So if a woman can hear that and say, wow, these people actually, they are concerned about me as an individual.
And you also want to know how they're going to do it. You can say it, but tell me how you're going to do this.
Exactly. Yes.
Show us the road, your road plan.
That's right.
Excellent. Before we go to the issue of infrastructure and our, this is very, very important because we saw how it affected the voter turnout, the counting process, and all those things. Before I let Roger address that issue, but segue, I'll keep your mic open. You can come in at whatever stage you want to come in, where you're comfortable, depending on where our discussion is. Let me just mention to everybody that next week, Saturday, Dr. Patrick, we managed to get a confirmation. We are going to have the Chief Executive Officer, Roger, from the Energy Regulation Board. So I want us to discuss with her the energy regulation policy of Zambia. I really don't want us to focus on the load shedding. I want us to look at the investment opportunities in the energy sector because that is the solution. If we understand what the regulation, energy regulation policy of Zambia is, then it will help us to mobilize our friends and see how we can move in and attend to the issue. So next Saturday, Energy Regulation Board Chief Executive Officer. Roger, infrastructure. We saw what happened not only in the past election. We've seen what has happened in previous elections. Number one, Zambia has been told to stop holding elections in the rainy season. At times you can't avoid it. This time we had to hold it in January because that was the within which the 90 days fell according to the Constitution. This is the very reason the Constitution also, I don't want us to go to the Constitution. The issue of when a president dies, all these things need to be. Let's discuss the infrastructure situation, considering all things, like they told us in school, being held constant. Everything is normal, okay? There's no by-election and all that. How has the infrastructure situation, Roger, in our country affected voter participation and voter management of elections in our country?
Okay. And our great teacher here has really taught us, Dr. Patrick, how corruption, was it in Poland, was cut by half because of the use of technology. In Africa, unfortunately, we don't seem to be moving with the time. We have to transport things like 200 meters away to go. That's to go and count, to take to a different polling station or a place where they can count and then deliver the results, which causes all sorts of problems in as far as logistics is concerned. So, as government, as the people who are responsible for voting, number one, why are we not talking about a simple, I don't know if it's a simple app or telephone app where people can be and send this information? That is number one. Number two, when it comes to voting, people don't even know where they are going to vote. Two, there are no roads there. You know, some places there are just about no roads. And it has to take the military to take the vote. So if we, to take the ballot papers there, if we are, and we should be, as a nation, be interested in the registration of voters, I'm not sure what needs to happen to take the voters to Shangombo, to take the boxes there. I'm not really sure. But we know if we really need participation of those people, investments have to be taken into the delivery of votes. Number one, first of all, like you said, Nathan, not holding elections in a rainy season is the first step. That one is a number one stop. But we need to make some investments. What investments? I don't know. Maybe Dr. Patrick may have an idea, but we need to make investments to make it much easier for people to go to the polls. in every district, in rural districts of Zambia, we have a school. So what needs to be done, I think, is just to use it, a little bit of technology, connect to the schools. That way, communication with the centers can be improved. That's one way I think I can think of.
Okay, excellent. Before Dr. Patrick calls, well, I've got a big announcement to make here, Dr. Patrick. As we, Rosa was talking, I just got a call from the embassy. This is good, Rosa. This is good.
Mm.
The Foreign Affairs Minister has agreed to be on Zambia Block Talk Radio on Friday. So we just need to work out the logistics and how we are going to do this.
Okay, Friday is good.
Outstanding.
Friday is good. We can mobilize people, I'm sure.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We can advertise it. We can work on it and everything. I just want everybody to know out there, all our listeners listening, Foreign Affairs Minister has agreed to come on the radio show. They just called me whilst you were talking. And please look at our Facebook page and watch Matilda, Roger, myself, Titus's Facebook pages. We shall put this information out when the Foreign Affairs Minister will be on Zambia Block Talk Radio this Friday, this coming Friday. Okay. That's the way you wanted to say something?
Wow. Wow. It's outstanding. That's drop the microphone moment. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Congratulations, my brothers.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Patrick. So that was Patricia Ditya, the press secretary, who just called me. She said, you are free to go ahead and inform your audience that the Foreign Affairs Minister is agreed to be on the show this Friday. Okay. Who wants to go next and make a comment on what Roger was saying, Dr. Patrick?
I would like to say that the Copper Belt, the Eastern Province, Luapula, Lusaka, Mushinga, and the Northern Province, they don't have much to worry about. Do you know why? Because Dr. Lungu won those provinces. So the person in position will most likely try to beef up their area. Now, he won Central, Northwest, Southern, and Western. So the question is, how are we going to get more polling places in these areas? It's going to benefit both all parties, but we just need to get those polling places up and running. And then the next question is, how are we going to finance? It's always come down to money. How are we going to finance these additional polling places? When we have additional polling places, that reduces the travel that has to be undertaken to get from home to the polling place. So I'm looking at increasing the number of polling places, and how can we finance them?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a good point.
It's also very important from our point of view, even as we're out there across the ocean to throw out this information to our friends. We'll do our part. I'm looking at the Electoral Commission of Zambia website here. You just need a registration card to be able to vote to be able to register as a voter in the upcoming presidential and general election in 2016. Of course, we do not know whether the old system is going to be used where the president announces the election date, or it's going to be put into the constitution. Another observation I need to make here, I'm looking at the current voter register. It is almost certain, Roger, that after the current registration process, I think I can confidently say the Copper Belt will definitely go beyond 1 million registered or eligible people to vote, because it's currently at 845,000. The two other provinces that might also be getting close to getting to the million bracket will probably be Lusaka and East Southern Province, Well, Southern and Eastern are in the 600,000. It will be a long shot for them to cross the median bracket. But I think I know Lusaka and the Copper Belt will go beyond the 1 million bracket, especially considering the way the voter registration is going on in the in Lusaka. We don't have the figures for the Copper Belt. I'd like to say, were your thoughts and any contribution on the voter registration process in Zambia?
Yeah, let me put my 5 cents in it. I would like to agree with, I think I was mature about get women involved. There's a lot of that women can contribute. Women have traveled and they have faced challenges in different countries that they have traveled. And they need to get involved because they talk among themselves and they know what they're going through. Some of the things that we are not even aware of what they are going through. But I know that they have a lot to contribute to everything. So they need to get involved. And on the Zambia Broke Talk Radio, some of the women that I know Zambians, I told them to get involved, but they don't want to get involved. I would just want to encourage that they get involved. And about the youth, I do Uber, the taxi thing on a side. And one time I picked up three guys, you know, and the young guys. And they were talking about taxes, you know. I wasn't even aware. I mean, they were talking about taxes. One guy made $600 a year, and one guy made so much, and he said, oh, yeah, I just finished your phone. And the way the conversation they were going on, these are young. I mean, they just graduated from high school, and the way they were talking about they didn't want to be late on taxes. And I was dumbfounded, man. You know, so we need to get the youth involved. And the politicians, like even the one who are running, they need to, Zambians politics, they need to sometimes just take a trip, like a high school in a rural area, just talk to the students on issue level. Don't talk to them as a student, just talk to them what they are trying to do. You know, so the youth, they need to get involved, and the women need to get involved in Zambia politics for us to advance. So that's, I was breaking in and out, Nathan, but
yes,
opportunity. Thank you for bringing this
job. Yeah, you are welcome. That's why I said you could come in just based on what you have heard and the way you are looking at this thing. We have a few minutes remaining here. Two crucial things that I want us to conclude on. Number one, this process of having a starting date for the registration process and a closing date. And then number two, we've also talked about getting women motivated and involved in the registration, in registering as voters and actually getting them to go and vote. Okay? Let me get one liner from each one of us as we conclude. Most of the time, Matilda, I'll start with you. We always...
Nathan, I'm sorry, did you call on me?
Okay, yeah, I thought I lost the line. That's why I went quiet, I wasn't sure. Yes, I'm saying that most of the time, you always get these sentiments of women saying, I'm not interested in politics. How do we compromise that with getting them to get involved in registering?
That's a good question. That even affects Americans here, you know. I'm not interested in politics. It's when you start moving away from the main issues and then you start talking about egos and popularity, or you just get hung up on something where... to backstab the other, that's when the interest is lost. It's difficult to get people back interested. I'm not sure how I can answer that, but the only thing I can encourage is to keep if it's the electoral commission's office, what they can do is go out and have clinics, several clinics where they are instructing people on how to vote. I mean, the process of voting, showing them or doing small simulations. So this is how you vote. This is what you do. People start getting interested because now they have those tools at their fingertips. Even if you think you know that you think they know, just do it anyway. Mm. Get the youths involved as well. So probably, you know, you ask the youths what are the problems that they think are not being talked about. When you reach out and ask a person that, they feel they want to be a part of, they want to belong. So the interest is built back again. But for those who have lost the trust or the confidence, those will be some serious topics. Discussions to have with them, what made them lose interest to start with.
Mm. It's true. Thank you. Roger, your final word, closing date versus getting people involved and getting them to vote?
Yes. Again, like Dr. Patrick has also talked about it, one of the ways we get people to vote, at least something should be, there should be a reason why I should go and vote. If year in, year out, all we are doing is voting, and yet we are not seeing any results which are coming from there. We have seen in Zambia, we've had different governments. At the end of the day, when we vote them into power, they become our bosses, and we are nowhere. There should be a reason to every one of us who aspire to be a politician or those who are in politics already. Let's give people a reason why they should vote. Don't forget about them after they vote for you. You are in Shangombo, in Kasempa, or Kawambwa. Then you go and sit in Lusaka and forget about the people. There should be a reason why you should be elected. Or else everyone should only be voted one term. If you don't go back to your constituency during that term, you are gone. I think it should be, it should be that way. Yes.
So before Dr. Patrick gives his final word, our listeners, please remember the special announcement. Friday, October 2nd, we'll be talking to Foreign Affairs Minister, Mr. Kalaba. And Saturday, October the 3rd, we'll be talking to the Chief Executive Officer of Energy Regulation Board on Zambia Block Talk Radio. Watch our Facebook pages and website. Dr. Patrick, your final word on this discussion. Probably he's on mute. But you say, well, finally, your final word.
Yes, sorry. When I'm invited to high schools to give a presentation about government and regulations, I always like to give an example that would encourage them to vote when they can or when they become eligible. And I use the ice cream example. I ask everyone in the class, how many of you like ice cream? And 90% of the time, everyone will raise their hand.
Great. I'll be one of them.
Yeah, I say great. I say, if you vote for me, there'll be no more ice cream in the city. That gives the children a perspective on what the power of voting can do. Mm. If you vote for my colleague, he will continue to make ice cream. But if you vote for me, I'm closing down the ice cream. Guess who's going to get the vote? So they have a good vision of what the power of a vote can make,
the vote
can be. Now, with respect to elections, registering and voting, the individual has to have charisma, has to have dynamism, and the most important thing is they have to have your trust to do what they say they're going to do.
That's right.
If they don't have
your
trust, you won't get it. And we have to do something. My final point is we have to do something about those rejected votes. As I mentioned before, 17,000, that would mean that would include that. I mean, if you put together the NIREP, Heritage, CDP, FDA, and the Green parties all together, they still will not match the rejected votes. We have to reduce that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dr. Patrick, Matilda, Roger, and Daniel, and everybody for listening. That was our show for today. Do have a great weekend. Friday, Foreign Affairs Minister next week started the Energy Regulation Board Chief Executive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
We lamba equest na kuburi. We lamba equest na kuburi.